addresses fitna. Very good. The 29th surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Ankabut, is the surah that addresses fitna. Also, who can tell me what is the meaning of the word fitna? What does the word fitna mean in English? What does it mean? Who can tell me? What is the meaning of the word fitna? Very good. Fitna is an Arabic word that refers to trials and tribulations. Trials and tribulations, or tests, hardships, tests, etc. This is the meaning of the word fitna. And again, there's no way you can escape this, because life is one big trial. Life is one big test, one big fitna. Next question, who can tell me? We talked about different types of fitna yesterday, and we talked about the fitna that a person has to deal with their disbelieving parents. Who can tell me? What is the fitna of dealing with disbelieving parents? Who can remember? What is the fitna of dealing with disbelieving parents? Why is it a trial or test to deal with our parents if they are not Muslim and we are? What's the fitna involved? What's the trial or the test involved? Who can remember? Very good, Sister Amina and Brother Mutakun. The trial involved in dealing with the non-Muslim parent is that you have to respect them. You have to respect them, okay? Regardless as to what, your disbelieving parent, they may hate the fact that you are Muslim. They may constantly harass you about being Muslim. They may constantly try to convince you to denounce your religion. Of course we do not obey them if they tell us to denounce our religion, but we still have to be respectable and nice to them. And this is a fitna, because it's not something easy to do. It's not easy to be nice and kind and respectable to someone who is constantly badgering you about something. Okay? So that's one fitna that many Muslims have to encounter every day, is the fitna of dealing with their disbelieving parents. We also talked about another type of fitna that many people have to endure. We talked about the fitna of being a minority. What does this mean? Who can tell me? When we talked about the fitna of being a minority of what? What are we talking about? Very good. The fitna of being a minority refers to being a Muslim. Say, for example, you are a Muslim living in a Kafir society. Okay, you work at a job. You're surrounded by unbelievers. You're the only Muslim. This is a fitna that most of us deal with every day, and unfortunately, many of us flunk this test. Many of us do not pass the test. So many of us end up giving in to the kuffar. We end up adopting their way of life. We end up disobeying Allah and committing sins to be like the kuffar. So this is another fitna that a lot of us have to encounter, is being a minority. And again, unfortunately, most of us can't get past that. We flunked the test there. We also talked about the fitna of argumentation. And what did we mean when we talked about this? When we talked about the fitna of argumentation, what did we address? Who can remember? How is argumentation a fitna? How does it become a fitna for people? Who can remember? Very good, Sister Israel. The fitna behind argumentation is the fact that most people cannot accept the truth. And not only can they not accept the truth, most people don't want to know the truth, or they don't want to hear the truth. So they may sit around and pick arguments with you just because you are trying to live your life truthfully. And they can't handle it. So they will come up to you and want to argue about your religion, argue about or against your way of life. So that's another fitna that many of us have to deal with every day, which is the fitna of argumentation. And then finally yesterday, we talked about the fitna of passions and desires. And what did we say about this? How is our passions and desires a fitna? How are those two things a fitna for us? Who can remember? How are our passions and desires a fitna for us? Very good, Sister Amina. What this is a fitna that we have to fight every day again. Because remember, we all have a jinn that's assigned to us, and his job is to take us to hell. And he's always going to tempt us through our desires and through our passions, through the things that we love the most. And unfortunately, so many of us flunk the test. We end up giving in to our desires. And we talked about, we gave examples yesterday. For example, all of us know that it's haram. Under no circumstances can a woman talk to any man who is not her husband. No woman should ever talk to a man without the presence of her wali and his knowledge and his approval. But we talked about how so many of us give in to our desires and our passions, and we end up committing sin by talking to these men. Eventually we fall in love, and bam, we got a bunch of problems. And none of these problems would have happened if we had not given in to our desire. Brother Abdul Razak, what do you mean if she's a non-Muslim? Then we're talking about Muslims. We don't care about kafirs. If you are a Muslim man, you don't have no business talking to any woman who is not your wife without a wali. It don't matter if she's a kafir. It doesn't matter if she's a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, a Buddhist, a Hindu, anything. As long as it is a human being who is female, you don't have no business talking to her without a wali. If she don't have a wali, she need to get one. Because this is haram. There is no intermingling in Islam. There is no dating in Islam. There is no sex before marriage. There is none of that stuff in Islam. So again, guys, this is so many of us flunk this fitna. We give in to this. We let our desires, our emotions, our feelings from the shaitan interfere with us. And we end up flunking that test. And this, I'm telling you, 90% of Muslims flunk that test right there. The test of their passions and desires. So these are just some of the different types of fitna that we talked about yesterday. And today we're going to continue on with the next set of different types of everyday fitnas that we are exposed to. We're going to begin with the fitna of disobedience upon knowledge. And this is another fitna that most of us flunk. And what this means is, when people have knowledge, there's a lot of people out there who have knowledge of this religion, but they don't act according to that knowledge. And again, an example would be how we all know it's haram to have affairs with people who ain't our husband and wife. We know this is a major sin. We know it's haram, but we still disobey Allah and do it. That's an example of disobedience upon knowledge. You have knowledge that something is wrong, yet you still choose to disobey a law. And I'm going to tell you how serious this is. A law destroyed the people of the Ad and the Thamud. He destroyed these people because they had knowledge, but they still chose to be disobedient. The people of the Ad and the Thamud, they did not commit shirk. They worshiped the one God. They worshiped Allah. But what they did was they disobeyed many of his commands. They started to pick and choose. And so thus Allah wiped them out. He destroyed them completely. So this is a tremendous fitna that many of us fall into. We know something is wrong, but we still do it. We need to ask Allah to keep us away from this fitna. And we need to learn how to make dua for ourselves, asking Allah to give us the strength to not give in to this great, tremendous fitna of disobeying Him when we know what we're doing is wrong. Remember, guys, the believer is not the same as a mere Muslim. A believing Muslim would never, ever, ever deliberately, intentionally disobey a law. So that's what sets the believers above just the mere Muslim. And we want to talk again about another fitna. We talked about how argumentation is a fitna when people want to argue with you against the truth. Well, there's another form of argumentation, which is a fitna that many Muslims are wrapped up with, and this is debating this religion with others, debating with the Christians, debating with the Jews, arguing Islam versus Christianity. This is a fitna. And just for the record, for those who do not know, it is haram to sit around debating this religion with others. And the reason why it's haram is because debate becomes a fitna. If you are a person who does not have knowledge and understanding of this religion, if you sit around debating with a Christian, they will end up putting doubt in your heart. They will cause you to start doubting your religion and doubting yourself. The only people who can sit around debating this religion with the Christians and the Jews are the scholars. And who are the scholars? The scholars are people who have knowledge and understanding of the Quran, as well as the Sunnah, as well as all areas of fiqh or Islamic jurisprudence. Unless you are a master of all of those areas of Islam, you are not qualified to debate with anyone. And that means very, very, very few of us are masters of the Quran and the Hadith and Islamic jurisprudence. Very few of us. So you see all these Muslims wasting their time arguing, and you find them coming to our website or to our question board asking us, how do we answer this question from a Christian? You have no business debating with them because you ain't strong enough in your religion. You don't understand Islam yourself. So how dare you go around trying to debate somebody else's religion? Allah says in the Quran, the interpretation, the meaning, and do not debate the people of the book. Instead say, I believe in what was revealed to us and in what was revealed to you. And our God and your God is one, and we are submitting to Him. and thus we revealed the book to you. That's the 29th surah of the Quran, the 46th through 47th ayah. Here Allah tells you clearly that you don't sit around debating with these people. Instead, you tell them that you believe in what was revealed to us and in what was revealed to them, and that's it. You don't waste your time arguing with them. But unfortunately, Muslims do this every day, and every day we end up losing Muslims. I mean, people talk about how we get hundreds of people who embrace Islam every day. Well, the flip side of that coin is you also get hundreds of Muslims who apostate from this religion every day too. And one of the main reasons for their apostation is that they had no knowledge or understanding of this religion. And it was made doubtful to them by them sitting around arguing and debating with a Christian or a Jew. That Christian or that Jew managed to put doubt in the heart of that weak person. And so thus that person apostates. So this is a fitna that we all need to stay away from. Me personally, I never debate this religion with anybody, especially not Christians and Jews. I don't even talk about my religion to them. I don't even discuss my religion to them. In fact, I try to stay away from them. To be honest, I don't deal with them at all. Period. Okay? So that's the fit that we all need to stay away from, which is debating this religion with others. Another common fitna that many of us end up falling victim to is the fitna of the dunya, or the life of this world. Dunya is another Arabic word, and what it means is it talks about the life of this world, the earth. Okay, the life of the people of this world. As believing Muslims, we should not allow ourselves to be tempted by the life of this world. Many people are put to fitna because they look at the life of this world and they look at all its pleasures and its amusements, thinking that these things will last. But they do not understand the reality of life. The reality of life is that nothing will last forever. Everything in this world is temporary. Nothing lives forever in this world. The hereafter is what is eternal. So this is why the believing Muslim does not allow himself to be deceived by the life of this world. He doesn't attach himself to it because he knows it's temporary. The believer understands that he was put here on this planet to accumulate as many good deeds as possible to take with him to stand before Allah on the day of judgment in hopes of having the scales tipped in his favor for paradise. The believer does not allow himself to become attached to this world or anything in it because he knows everything in it is temporary and it's all a test. So this is another fitna that we have to learn how to overcome, the fitna of the life of this world. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by it. Also, Allah tells us in the Quran that for all the good things that he puts here in this world, there are things 10 times better in paradise. So the believing Muslim, he looks at the things of enjoyment as, oh well, it's just a taste of what is yet to come in the hereafter. And that's the attitude we all need to formulate. Because by doing so, we would not then fall victim to the pleasures of life here in this world. And this takes us to the next fitna. The next fitna that we need to learn how to overcome. And this is a fitna in which many of us again fall victim to. And that is the fitna of safety and security. And what is meant by that is this. We look around and there's so much going on in the world. You got earthquakes occurring in one part of the world. You have famine and drought in another part. You have a war going on in another part of the world. And instead of you reflecting on the signs of Allah and taking heed to His warnings, you're sitting back saying, oh, I'm glad I don't live there. Well, at least it ain't happening to me. I'm glad it won't happen to me. Don't ever be so secure and so snug that you think that Allah will not send His wrath or His test to you. This country could go to war at any day. Allah could send an earthquake on you any day. Allah can send drought here any day. You are not spared or protected from Allah's wrath. And don't think that you are. But unfortunately, so many Muslims do that. And I'll give even more good examples. We have Muslims who think that just because they live in Mecca, they are protected from the fitna. They are protected from any type of calamity. This is not correct. Because if Allah chooses to send a calamity to you, you cannot avoid it, not even by hiding out in Mecca. Like I was telling a sister the other day, you can move to Saudi Arabia all you want to. That does not guarantee that you will not be tested and tried in some way or some shape or some form. So thus, guys, don't fall for the illusion of thinking just because a war is not occurring in your country or you were spared from an earthquake or a drought that you are exempt from Allah's wrath. Because you're not. Nobody knows what Allah has decreed. Nobody knows what Allah has planned. And nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. Instead, what we need to do is take heed to Allah's warnings and to His signs. And we make dua, asking Allah to give us the patience to handle whatever it is He sends our way. And give us the tranquility of heart to be able to accept whatever His decree is to be. That's what the believing Muslim does. And we continue to strive on the right path, the path of righteousness. That's what we do. Because we know that there is nothing we can do to avoid the fitna of this life. Because this life is nothing but one big fitna. And it will not go away. Not even after you die. Okay? So we're going to stop right here. And this concludes our topic of life is a fitna. I hope everybody understood this. I want you guys to understand that you will be tested. In fact, the closer you get to Allah, the more knowledge that you learn about your religion, the more you will be tested in some way, some shape, some form. You're going to encounter some fitna in some way, shape, or form. You have to remember to be patient. Remember to be patient and ask Allah to grant you tranquility of the heart. That's all you can do, guys. So if you have any questions about anything, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.